Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. Recently, I heard a well-known speaker, Christian speaker, say that children are in this place where they don't really know that they need Jesus because they don't know why they need Jesus. And to me, that seems to be a question of teaching. That's what good Sunday schools do. It's one of the things they do. They teach the Word of God. They teach young people about Him. They teach young people why they need Him. They teach Him what He's like. They teach them the Bible. They teach them doctrine. What does God think about different situations? If a Sunday school isn't teaching that, it ought to be. Except for salvation, why do we need Him here on earth now? Why is it important that we get to know Him now? What's the difference? There's a lot of people that live their life without Him. But what's the difference? Because there is fantastic benefit to people who have Jesus that those people who don't know Him don't get to enjoy. In verse 5 of John 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So, you know what it looks like, for example, when grapes grow. They grow on a vine. And then there's branches, and the branches have little grapes on them. And that's what this is a picture of. I am the vine, you are the branches. That means we are connected to Him. The Bible says that we are actually one person with Him in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 that happened at the cross. He made us to be one person with Him. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are the body of Christ. So when He is saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, that is a very good way to compare us to Him. Because inside of us lives the Holy Spirit if we are saved. The moment a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit enters into them and He makes His permanent home with them. He never leaves again. And so, we have this very direct connection to God. It's a physical and spiritual connection. Because the Holy Spirit, who is a real being, is living inside of us. And He is God. And so, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, that is to say, keeps himself and remains in me and I in him, bears much fruit. Now, to abide in him and he in me, that's not as complicated as it sounds. If I'm abiding in Him, I'm keeping myself in the love of God. I'm focused on the love of God. I'm constantly receiving the love of God. I'm centered around the love of God. Everything for me, I'm constantly looking for the love of God in things. Him abiding in me simply means the Word of God is present in my thoughts. Okay, I've received the Bible instruction. I've believed it, I receive it on a regular basis, and it is in my thinking. That's all that means. Then he says, they will bear much fruit when they do that. So in order to be fruitful, and that's what we really want to be, because a fruitful person is the one who has a very rich friendship, relationship, very intimate, very close to God, wonderful experience, tremendous provision, tremendous protection, tremendous help in that. And then it says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, when people hear this, they don't tend to entirely believe it sometimes. Because they say to themselves, well, I can do stuff without him. I can go brush my teeth. I don't need him to brush my teeth. There's plenty of people who don't even believe in him. And they live their entire lives. And they get a job and they get married. And some of them are very successful financially. They get a lot of money sometimes. Sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that I can't physically get a job It means that without him, I can't do anything that has any real meaning. Now, everybody wants their life to have meaning. The problem with people who don't know Christ is that while even if they're doctors and they can help people, in the end, their life will have had no meaning. And that's because there's never been faith in their life, and that means that everything they do and they themselves will be lost forever after they die because they did it without him. For us, because we are saved, and this is true of everybody who's saved, the things that we do when we are led by the Holy Spirit of God, that is to say, we abide in him and he abides in us, then everything becomes meaningful. Even things that are normal everyday details become meaningful in heaven. You can actually get huge rewards in heaven for something like cleaning your room if you do it with the right attitude toward God. People don't think about that. You mean I can clean my room and God will remember that? Yeah, absolutely. He sure will remember that. And he'll give the same type of rewards as he gives Billy Graham for winning millions of people to Christ. Yeah, absolutely God will remember that. Everything that you do takes on real, eternal meaning, real, eternal value when you abide in him and he abides in you. It won't be lost. It won't be forgotten. For people without him, it'll all be forgotten. And that's why he says, without me, you can do nothing, because nobody's going to remember that you did anything. Just the way it goes. For example, do you guys know who Voltaire was? Probably not. A lot of people do, but the younger generation usually doesn't. Voltaire lived several hundred years ago. He was a famous unbelieving philosopher. Most people don't know anything about Voltaire. Yet, how many people know about Paul? Well, people know a lot about Paul. How about David? How many people know about David? People know all kinds of stuff about David. David lived 3,000 years ago. How do you know about David? Because what he did, everything had real meaning, and God preserved that meaning. Well, in heaven, you don't have to be famous like David. Famous people in heaven doesn't mean famous people on earth. Famous people in heaven means that their life had real meaning and it's remembered in heaven. And not only is it remembered, it's written in books of remembrance. So if you clean your room with the right attitude toward God, God actually writes it down in a book called the Book of Remembrance. On this day, the kids clean their room. And this is what they were like during it. And because of that, they will get these rewards. With Christ, that happens. Without him, it doesn't. Now, in John 10:10, the thief, who is the devil, does not come except to kill, to destroy, and to steal. And then Jesus says, but I have come to give them life that they may have it more abundantly. The words more abundantly, actually, if you were to translate it into modern English, would mean super abundantly. Hugely abundant. The devil, who is the person who keeps people away from Christ, who is the person who will tell you, oh, you don't really need to follow him, who will tempt you into all kinds of wicked things. Young people, remember this. You know already, because you have a conscience, the things that are right and the things that are not right with God. A lot of that you already know. The devil will sometimes tempt you into doing things that are not right. Don't follow it. Don't do it. Now, that can become really hard to resist unless you know that it's the devil tempting you. Well, Matthew 4:4 says that temptation comes from the devil. He is the tempter. So if you are being tempted to do something that is not right, then know that it's the devil who's whispering into your ear to do it. Now, he is your enemy. It's very easy for me to say no to my enemy. But he doesn't actually have his own voice. So what he does, it's called projection. It's like a whisper into your ear, and he uses your brain's machinery to communicate to you. And so it sounds to you like your own voice, like your mental voice. You know how you can hear your thoughts in your head? That's what it sounds like to you. And maybe there's like this pressure, this compulsion to do something that's not right. That's the devil's whisper. If that happens to you, recognize the one who's tempting you, it's not coming from you. It's coming from your enemy whispering in your ear. You're not doing anything wrong that he's whispering in your ear. Sometimes you're doing a lot of things right, because if you're not doing a lot of things right with God, the devil's going to leave you alone. You're doing exactly what he wants. But if you're doing things right with God, he's going to have an issue with that. Why? Because he's a nasty booger. And so he's going to try to get you to get thrown off. Why? Because he wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy your life. And if he could, he would kill you. Now, the beautiful thing is that he cannot touch you. And he knows he can't touch you. So he tries to whisper in your ear and try to get you to make decisions based on what he whispers. When your enemy whispers in your ear, recognize, this is my enemy. And he's whispering this so that he can seriously hurt me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to agree with him. Because that's your enemy, and he's trying to hurt you. It's very easy for me to say no to my enemy. But if you think that's your own thought, it's not. But if you think that it is, it's very hard to say no to yourself. Well, Genesis 3 and verse 1 said he's very subtle. That means he is very sneaky in the way he does things. And one of those things is, he makes you think that his words are your thoughts. They are not. Never confuse that. They are not. He is the one who tempts. And he does it so that he can steal from you, or destroy something in your life, or kill you. And he does all three of them a lot of the time to a lot of people. So please be aware of that. If you're tempted to do something you ought not, don't do it. That's your enemy talking to you. Don't agree with your enemy. He is not your friend. He is your enemy. Now, back to our thought. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why do I need him? Because without him, I can't do anything, but with him, I can do absolutely everything. I can't tell you how many times I've thought, or somebody that I know thought, something was just impossible to do, and then they do it. Then it happens. Why? Because we can do all things through him who strengthens us. One of the things he does, and this is a big one, in Romans 5:8, it says that God commends his love towards us. That word commend is an interesting word in the original language. It literally means that God makes us to be one person with the love of God. Think about that for a second. You are one person with the love of God. It's not that you possess the love of God. You and the love of God combine to make up a brand new person. That's what happened on the cross in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. You and Jesus became one person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 calls that person the new creation. And what that means is that type of person did not exist before. But now they do. So Jesus makes you into a new person. The old person is gone. When you start to believe, when you get saved, he makes you not only into a new person, but he makes you into one person with Jesus himself. Let's say that you take something like copper and you combine it with something, with another metal. I think it's tin. I'm not sure. I don't remember now. You get brass. So you can take two metals, combine them, you heat them together, you melt them, you combine them in a pot as they're melted, and then when they cool, you get a completely different metal, a brand new metal out of it, although it started with two separate metals. Well, it's like that with Jesus and us. Prior to you being saved, there's Jesus and there's you, two separate individuals. But when you get saved, you get combined into one new individual. And that individual is called the new creation. You cannot become a new creation without him. You can only become a new creation with him. The new creation has tremendous benefits. Because you are one person with God, you get all the benefits of being one person with God. What can God do that humans cannot? Well, pretty much everything. You can do all things through Christ because you're one person with him. Peter walked on water. Now, I'm not saying, well, Peter did it, I'm going to go out and do it too. That's called presumption. You don't want to go into presumption. However, Peter wasn't so stupid as to just get out of the boat and walk on water. Peter asked Jesus first. And then when Jesus said do it, then he did it, and boy, did he do it. Now, how many people have you known that walk on water? I don't know any. But Peter did. Why? He could do all things through Christ. If Christ leads you into something, you can do it. You don't want to do it apart from him, but if he leads you into something, you can do absolutely anything. If you pray, you can move a mountain. Some people say, I don't think I can move a mountain. Yep, you can move a mountain if you pray. And sometimes people will try to spiritualize that, and usually it is spiritual. Well, I have a situation in my life, and it's like a mountain, and I can't deal with it. Well, if you pray, you can move that mountain. But you know what? If you needed to move a real physical mountain, and you prayed, God would let you move a real physical mountain. Stranger things have happened. Don't ever think that the Bible doesn't mean what it says. The Bible absolutely means what it says. In Psalm 28:7, God is my strength and my shield. Not only can you do everything because of him, there's nothing that can go against you because of him. If you come up in a situation, and let's say people are against you, or circumstances are against you, don't sweat it. Sometimes people look at the circumstances or the people and they get nervous and scared and panic and go, wah! Had to wake you up. Don't worry about it. Just keep going like it's not even happening. Don't even worry about it. Why? Because God's your shield. God is the one who protects you. You just keep going. You just keep doing what's right with God. You keep following your Savior. You keep, let's say you're at your school or on the job, you keep doing the best job that you're able to, just like you always have, and you're going to walk right through it, and nothing's going to touch you. Why? He's your shield. The unbeliever cannot say that. The believer can. Why? Because you have Jesus. In Psalm 37:23, your steps are ordered by the Lord. He's the one who directs your path, especially in Proverbs 3:5 if you acknowledge Him. The unbeliever cannot say, God is telling me what to do. God is ordering my steps. God has determined my outcomes. God is the one who's directing me where to go and how to do it. The believer absolutely can say that. That's one of the things God does for every born-again believer. He's directing their steps. Now, can I choose against it? Yes, I can. I'd be crazy to do that. Let me put it this way. You can do things and have them come out good, or you can do things and have them come out bad. Which is better? Have them come out good. If you want to go against God, they will come out bad. James 4:6 guarantees it. If you want things to come out good, then just do them God's way. And you can't help but to have them come out good. Only the believer can say that. Only the believer can say, God is ordering my steps. That means that every detail of your life has meaning and purpose. That everything in your life has eternal value. There's no detail, no matter how small, that's not valuable in your life. But it's only because you're a believer, because you have Jesus in your heart. In John 15:6, everyone who does not abide in Him, he's cast out as a branch and withers. I don't want to be cast out as a branch and wither. I want to abide in Him. How do I experience these benefits practically? I keep myself in the love of God, and I keep His Word in my thinking. That's how I experience it practically. In Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And the man who finds it has great joy because he found it. And he sells everything that he has to buy that field. Notice he didn't sell everything he had just to buy the treasure. You can't just buy the treasure. You got to buy the whole field. Why? Because the field is where the treasure is hidden. See, sometimes things will be tough, and sometimes they'll be good. And some things will be easy, and some things will be hard. And some things will make you happy, and some things will make you sad. But the Word of God says, you got to take all of it. Because in the midst of all those things that seem like they're working against each other, or like they're opposites, they're actually working together. And what you find when you go through them is this amazing treasure that God gives you. God says that there are secret riches in dark places. Even in the dark times in your life, there's riches to be found there from God. In the dark times in your life, you're going to find the love of God and the kindness of God. You're going to find the comfort of God. You're going to find the mercy of God like you could never experience it before. It gets to be so powerful in your life that Paul said he gets excited when he has tribulations. If I have problems, if I have difficulties, that gets me excited, Paul said. And you look at him like, you're nuts. No, he's not nuts. He just knows what he's going to find in these things. The unbeliever can't say that. The believer can. Because they're promised to those people who have Jesus in their hearts. And then he says in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who's seeking beautiful pearls. Then when he finds one pearl of great price, really expensive, really fantastic, beautiful pearl, he says everything he has to get that one pearl because it's so valuable. You may sometimes feel like you have to give up things. The world gets to do things the Christians don't get to do. That's because the devil is lying to them so he can kill them and steal from them and destroy their lives. It's not really a good deal like it looks like. But the Christian, The Christian might give up some of what the world has to offer, because the world doesn't have much to offer, honestly. But the Christian will give that up. Why? Because God offers things that are so much more valuable, so much more precious, that give you so much better quality in life, that make you so much happier in the end. When you work in the emergency room for several years like I did, you see it all the time. People who thought, for example, that they would have a good time, and they were wrong. And the devil will tell you, hey, drink some alcohol, you'll have a good time. Hey, take some drugs, you'll have a good time. Yeah, right. Then when you destroy your liver, your kidneys, your heart, whatever, you realize, this isn't such a good time. But he's a liar, and he's the father of all lies, the tempter. He lies to you all the time. When he tempted Jesus, and this one I always get a kick out of because it's so stupid. I mean, the devil is just dumb as a stump. He says to Jesus, if you bow down to worship me in Matthew 4, I will give you all of these kingdoms. Hey, stupid! He made all of those kingdoms. He made the dirt that the kingdoms are made of. What are you going to give him? What's already his? Well, you know, some people are such con artists, they'll sell you what you already own. And that's what he was trying to do with Jesus. He's a con artist. But it's only a con. That means it's a lie. Right? There's nothing you don't already possess that anyone can promise to give you. Why? Because all things are yours through Christ. Literally, all things are yours through Christ. The devil can add nothing to you. People in the world can add nothing to you. Temptation can add nothing to you. But it can steal from you. And it can destroy what God has given you. And in some cases, it can even kill you. Why do you want Jesus in your life? Because he gives you everything. Literally. He gives you everything. He gives you the right job. He gives you the right husband or wife. He gives you the right place to go. He gives you children when you get married. He gives you everything. He gives you your life. What does he ask in return? That you stay with him. That's it. Just stay with him. In other words, don't leave him. Don't walk away from what he says. Stay with him. And then everything is yours. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.